The Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Dr. Spork's 3D Terrain. From retro greenskin outposts to elven fortresses and obelisks, this is hands down the best nostalgic scenery you'll find out there, and all at stupidly reasonable prices. Check it out for yourself by heading over to bedroombattlefields.com/spork, that's S-P-O-R-K, and turn your tabletop into a scene from White Dwarf circa 1994. Andy Chambers not included. Brought to you by bedroombattlefields.com, this is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. The Bedroom Battlefields community is a wellspring of creativity, and on this episode I'm delighted to be joined by Sean, who runs the Timeless Tabletop Gaming YouTube channel. Some of his recent videos centre around building and painting his dream Warhammer Fantasy 4th edition Undead Army. Sean clearly pours a lot into both his hobby projects and the presentation of documenting them, and I'm pleased to see that they seem to be getting the attention they deserve. So let's start there then with Sean's background as a YouTuber.
That's not even my my first channel, I don't think, either. I've got a couple on the go that's sort of on and off, really, as that one was off for about 9 years when I sort of recently revived it last year. But, I've always kind of enjoyed posting content. Because I've always been a passionate person, somebody who really enjoys things to, you know, and probably an unhealthy extent. And I like to kind of share that passion in whichever way I can. Weirdly, I find YouTube and things like this slightly more uncomfortable than what I like to do, which is just to write. My favourite thing to do is to just write about them. I know you say you're mainly an audio kind of guy. I would say I'm mainly a blogger or someone who writes articles. That's always sort of been my dream job, really, is to be a sort of journalist of some kind, or to, you know, my dream job would be, it involves time travel, so it's not really realistic, but I'd love to go and work on a magazine back in the 90s. Whether that's like, you know, I have a sort of few passions, like wargaming is one of them, or tabletop games, I guess. The other one is, like, I really enjoy video games and vintage video games especially. So I would just like, as a kid, it was, you know, I used to love buying magazines and reading magazines. And so I just kind of picked up the, I guess, the kind of vernacular of those, kind of that kind of 90s magazine style of writing. And I think that's what I kind of try and do in my YouTube videos. And, you know, whatever kind of current projects I'm sort of, what content creation I'm doing, I kind of try and bring back, I guess, the style of those old magazine articles that I liked so much as a kid.
No, I totally get that. Like, I'm big on writing myself. And before we got on there, I literally just published the newsletter, the Minigamer newsletter. So I've been enjoying that, and I've taken quite a magazine approach to that. I'm just basically picking out like five or six things that I've noticed. Generally, it's like new releases from companies that I really like, but doing that almost or trying to emulate that, you know, the new releases pages in a magazine, especially with that kind of 90s, there was just something about back then with the magazines, wasn't there?
What was it? It's kind of like a conversational sort of style, so it's not too formal. It's very, it's like chatty, and it's quite like of the time. Like, I was reading a White Dwarf the other day, and there was this article about this guy, and his favourite word was corkin, like C-O-R-K-I-N. And it was like an exclamation. It was like a word that I'd completely forgotten about, but it's the sort of word that would only appear in like 90s magazines, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's that sort of stuff, but it's like the enthusiasm as well. I like that kind of unashamed enthusiasm for something and being excited about something, or yeah, just like, you know, I think like later on the kind of tone became a little bit cynical, like in magazines, where they would kind of, it was almost a little bit sneery. This was true in like the video game world, definitely, where it almost became like a, you were supposed to be sort of embarrassed about enjoying the thing that you enjoy, you know what I mean? And yeah, I kind of like that kind of unbridled enthusiasm, where you're just excited about, like, you know, being passionate about your kind of interests, I guess. And that's sort of, yeah, like I say, that's what I kind of try and just get across in my video content, really. And I came into videos, I started with a blog. So I think my sort of first, but I can't remember, I've done like several blogs over the years, but I originally did a blog when I tried to get back into Warhammer 40K. And I started this was around the time of like fifth edition 40K. And I met some guys local to me who sort of were playing quite regularly, and they seemed to sort of have a similar ethos to me about, you know, prioritizing fun over like competitive lists or, you know. And I ended up starting to collect Dark Elder at the time, and they were a really unusual army to collect at that time because they hadn't had a new codex since third edition. So there were kind of a couple of generations behind, so no one was really playing them. But I decided, because they were kind of cheap to pick up on eBay, I decided to start a Dark Elder army. And I was encouraged by one of the guys I was playing with to start a blog, because he had a blog called, I think it was called Space Wolves Grey. So he was doing a Space Wolf army, and he used to be able to basically like fund his hobby by having these blogs. And then you'd have like an affiliate link, say with like Wayland Games or something, you'd put a banner in, and it was just a good way of like getting a bit of hobby pocket money. So I decided to set up a Dark Elder blog. It's still online, and I mean, it's not doing anything. Obviously, hasn't been updated in about 15 years, but yeah, some of my early articles, I guess. And I would just do things like, I would do like weird little like tactics sort of posts, again just trying to like, I guess, do little like White Dwarf articles. I would just kind of talk about you know, thematic kind of armies. So I remember trying to do one where I was like, can you make a kind of, what's the closest you can get to like an all jet bike army in Dark Elder, like you could in an Elder army. Or I was just ranking my sort of favorite sculpts in the army or something like that. And yeah, so that was a lot of fun. And then I ended up setting up a YouTube channel for that. And that was just very sort of basic stuff where I would just film battle reports. But they weren't edited or anything. They were just literally me setting up my digital camera and letting it record for, you know, 2 hours straight or whatever, and then just posting that. Or maybe I just would just speed them up. So when I would put them into my editing thing, and I would just do like 6x speed or something, so that they weren't actually 2 hours long. But all the audio, so you can hear us speaking like chipmunks as we're going through the game. But you know, it was all just pretty basic stuff. And the channel that I'm doing now, Timeless Tabletop Gaming, I set that up, I think, because I was doing a sort of, I was on a bit of a Middle Earth binge. And so like the earliest videos on the current channel, and it was called Wargamer TV back then when I first set it up. And I just recorded me and my wife playing through the scenarios of the Hobbit strategy battle game. So I painted up the starter set for that. And then I roped my wife in to be able to play a few games with me, and I just recorded those and put them online. And then from there, I started to try and do vloggy type things where I would just sit and paint and just chat about things I was enthusiastic about. But that's the sort of stuff that it does not come naturally to me at all. I really like to script things. I like to kind of sit down and write out a script and then read off a script. I find it difficult to just talk off the cuff on camera. And where I kind of learned to how to do all the kind of videos I'm making now was actually another channel I've got, which is a retro video game channel, which is called Timeless Gaming UK, which is where the current name of Timeless Tabletop Gaming came from. And in that, I was actually doing proper editing. I was writing scripts and I was trying to like put in gags and little like timing based things. And it's just where I kind of honed my skills, I guess, so that when I came back to revive the Wargamer TV and turn it into Timeless Tabletop Gaming, I had a lot more skills under my belt in order to make videos that I think are a lot more engaging. Well, I hope they are anyway. And it's, it's been surprising how, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but how sort of successful it's been since I've come back, because it has been sort of much more than I, you know, ever would have expected. I'm getting much more views than I ever thought I would. When I posted the sort of first video that I came back to where I, about my Battle of Five Armies project, I was amazed at how many people watched it. And, you know, from there, it's just sort of gone from strength to strength, really, which is just mad.
Yeah, your latest video, which was a super video, obviously.
Thank you.
Had tens of thousands of views. So that was you talking through your recent project, wasn't it, with your Warhammer army?
That's right, the Call of the Crown challenge. Yeah, so again, it's sort of mad. I think it's up to about like 35,000 views or something like that. And yeah, it's sort of intimidating in a way, because I'm literally, just before I speak to you, I was writing the script for the second part, because that was basically covered the first half of my Call of the Crown challenge, and then now obviously the challenge is just finished, so I'm working on the next video to sort of wrap that up. And it is intimidating, because I'm sort of, you've always got in the back of your mind, that's like a huge amount of people watch that and could potentially watch this next one. It's it's a weird thing to sort of to have that pressure, but it's a nice pressure as well, I suppose. It's a first world problem.
Obviously, I'll have links to your channel and that video in the show notes. But for any listeners who've not seen the video yet, just give us a wee kind of run through of what you were talking about, what you were showing.
So the Call of the Crown is a painting challenge that's kind of themed around creating a fourth or fifth edition era Warhammer Fantasy Battle Army. It was born out of the Crown of Command YouTube/Discord community. And it's just a really fantastic way of giving yourself accountability and to kind of to feel a sort of community spirit as you're going through a painting challenge, because painting a Warhammer army is a massively daunting challenge. It's a really tricky thing to do. And it's something I think when we were kids, I don't know about you, but I never got close really to having a fully painted Warhammer army. It was always like a really aspirational thing in the hobby. It's just, it almost seems like an unreachable goal. And you realize when you're an adult and you actually go through the process of trying to make a nicely painted Warhammer army, it's so much time. There's so much time you have to invest to get to that end result. And so having a painting challenge where it breaks down your project into just little monthly bite-sized pieces. So there are sort of suggested themes for each month that David, the guy who runs the challenge, has sort of created at the beginning. So it will say, like, for instance, month one was to paint a general and two core units of troops. Well, actually, sorry, one core unit of troops. And then there was a bonus challenge to paint a second core unit of troops. So you can kind of, you don't have to follow that either, but these are just like suggested themes. And I found those suggested themes really helpful, because it just allowed me to kind of, it took the decision-making away from me, which I really liked, where I could just go, oh, I know what fits that theme. Because I'd actually been hoarding this stuff for a really long time. I'd had everything bar maybe like a handful of models, everything that I've painted up in this challenge. And I've now, at the end of it, I've got like a 3,000 point undead army for a fourth edition. Everything I already had, it was all just stuff I had sat in drawers, and it was all just rainy day sort of projects where I thought, oh, you know, one day I'll get around to doing that. But, you know, without this challenge, I probably never would have. And so, yeah, it's been just a really good excuse to kind of fulfill. I described it in the video as like fulfilling a hobby dream, which it really was, Because as I say, it's like back in the 90s, you know, this stuff was, when you're a kid, it's so much time and money, and I just didn't have the attention span for it back then, nor the skills. I mean, I'm currently writing about building a manticore, which is quite appropriate for your Discord community. I know you're a big fan of manticores on the Bedroom Battlefield Discord. But yeah, I was building a manticore, and just like sticking that thing together is like a complete pain in the ass, because it's made of all these like really heavy metal pieces that don't fit together very well. And when you do stick it together, it's got these huge gaps that you need to fill. So you need to have like milliput, and you need to have little tools to be able to kind of like press it into all the little gaps and like re-sculpt the detail. It's like, I was no way was I doing that when I was 12.
Well, you talk a wee bit about, you know, your younger days there in the hobby. So tell us about getting into the hobby initially. Like, what sort of year are we talking, and what's your kind of first touch point with it all?
Yeah, so like a lot of people, it's going to be HeroQuest. It would have been early 90s, I think. So probably a few years after HeroQuest had already been out. And it wasn't actually my copy. I don't think... I sort of, all this stuff is pretty hazy, but I don't think I actually owned it. I think it was just my best friend at the time, my best sort of friend through school, was a guy called Chris. And he had a copy at his house. And it's only in retrospect I've been thinking that actually it was probably his mum's, because his mum was like into sort of fantasy literature. So I remember in their house they had a bookcase, and it was full of all like Anne McCaffrey books and things. And I used to be like, we used to be joined at the hip basically. So I used to be around his house all the time. And it was just like a bit of a magical place for me to go, because he had all these, like I say, this kind of bookshelf full of all these kind of fantastic art, fantasy art covered books. And yeah, these fantasy themed board games. Like, I think there was one called Key to the Kingdom and some other ones. But yeah, one of them was HeroQuest. And his mum had painted up the figures in it in like Humbrol enamels. So they're like these really glossy looking miniatures. But they looked just like fantastic to me. And they just completely just sparked my imagination for all that stuff. And we became just like really obsessed with fantasy in general, really. Like, we would go out in his garden and make bows and arrows made out of like bamboo and washing line and pretend to shoot goblins, you know. And I think from there, I mean, I guess it was just a natural transition to getting into Games Workshop stuff. There were lots of people at my primary school who were also buying Warhammer models and things. And I think my primary school seemed to just be quite a good place to sort of foster a love of fantasy, because when we used to do story time, I don't know if you had this at your primary school, but where the teacher would sit down and read all the kids a story, you'd be sitting there cross-legged on the floor. But the stories we read, had read to us, were The Hobbit and a few of the Redwall novels. So it was, I don't know if it was a teacher who particularly liked fantasy, but I just remember, yeah, so there was all this kind of influence coming from everywhere, really, where it was just like a love of fantasy. And that's just sort of stayed with me to this day, really. And yeah, we went through all of the 90s kind of enabling each other, me and Chris's, with all kinds of Games Workshop stuff. And just, yeah, it was just such an exciting time. Like, I was thinking the other day, if you think back to 95, it's insane the amount of like amazing stuff that was released just in that year, because I think you had basically like the entire specialist games range released in that one year, because you had second edition Space Hulk, you had Warhammer Quest, you had Blood Bowl third edition, you had Necromunda. So it's just like there was just always so much exciting stuff coming out, not to mention obviously all the stuff that was coming out for Warhammer Fantasy Battle and 40K. So there was always so much to be sort of excited about and to read up on and to hang out in the local Games Workshop or whatever and, you know, peruse through the blister packs that you couldn't afford. But yeah, it was just an amazing time, really. And I think that's, you know, just something that's just stayed with me, and I just try and I guess, tap into that, tap into those happy times now as an adult, as a kind of midlife crisis adult.
Did you have a Games Workshop need you growing up?
Yeah, not. So my, in our local town, I grew up in a town called Wellingarden City in Hertfordshire. And that didn't have a Games Workshop, but it had a toy shop called Toys, 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 which had like a Games Workshop section. And it was always a funny toy shop to walk around because the owners were like really paranoid that everyone was on the rob. So they would like follow you around the shop wherever you went, just like pretending to kind of stack aisles or whatever, stack shelves. And they'd be just standing next to you the whole time, wherever you went. But it had a decent selection of kind of Games Workshop stuff. So I think that's where my first sort of exposure to it all would have been. My nearest Games Workshop would have been Games Workshop St. Albans. So I used to go there every now and then. When I used to visit my grandparents, it was, I think it, would, it was Games Workshop in Peterborough. And basically I used to just ask to be dropped off. So my nan would often like take me into town. She'd say, you know, when I was up staying with my grandparents, my nan would take me into town. And I'd be like, yeah, you can just drop me off here. Then you can go off and shop for a couple of hours. I'll be fine here. Thanks. You know, much probably to the annoyance of the staff. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it was just like, there was such like an amazing place to hang out because you had all the tables and things were all set up ready to game. And it was great when you could convince one of the staff members to give you a demo game of something. Though, obviously, once they'd seen your face, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, they're, you know, they become less less enthusiastic about showing you the demo game they know they showed you a month earlier. But, you know, it was just always just like a bit of a magical place to hang out, really. And then when I got a bit older, being able to go along to some of the sort of evening sessions and things and the big event games, yeah, just a magical time, really.
Did you go through a period away from the hobby, like a kind of exile, as we call it?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there's been a couple, but it's never for very long. So I remember the first one was during, about, around about secondary school. And I think we just got to that age where we realized it was very, very uncool to be playing Warhammer or painting miniatures. And so we'd started to kind of drift away from it. And I remember me and my mates hanging around in town, and we were almost like where you break up with someone and you want to try and neg them a little bit to sort of like convince yourself that you never really liked them all along. Do you know what I mean? And so you I remember, I think we were like sort of like taking the piss out of Warhammer in a sort of like, oh, can you remember, can you believe we used to do this sort of stuff with all these like goblins and elves or whatever. And we were in St. Albans and we were like, oh, let's go and have a look at, you know, the Games Workshop and the nerds inside. And this would have been around the time, I think this was around 99 or something, so I was a teenager at that point. And we walked around to the Games Workshop, and I kid you not, about an hour later we were all walking out with an army book and a box of like the new plastic regiments starting armies. So it lasted, you know, it's just like instantly, as soon as we just saw it, we were like, oh yeah, no, this is actually quite cool, isn't it? Yeah, no, oh yeah, no, you, if you collect those, I could maybe collect those. And like, you know, yeah, just like straight back in it. But that was quite a short-lived return to the hobby. I remember that was probably actually because I'm doing Undead for my Call of the Crown challenge. And actually, this return to the hobby, this was when Vampire Counts had sort of come out, and the new sort of skeleton regiments had come out. And so I'd started a Vampire Counts army. And my friend Chris had started a Tomb Kings army. And yeah, we had a couple of other friends who were doing other things as well. But I remember it was at that sort of awkward time where you're sort of meeting girls and things and trying to be cool. And so I'd painted up those Vampire Counts models, and I think I had like a couple of units of skeletons and a character, and maybe I think I had the black coach as well. But anyway, they were sat on a shelf, and a girl who'd for some inexplicable reason had taken a liking to me, had asked if she could, you know, if we could meet up. And I was like, yeah, yeah, no worries. Yeah, that sounds cool. But I just thought it would never actually happen. I didn't actually think it would happen. Anyway, she texted me to say she was on the bus coming to my, where I lived. And I panicked because I was like looking around my room. I thought, oh, I've got to like bring her back here. And I was like looking at my big shelf of Warhammer. And I did that thing where, you know, like to annoy a sibling or something, you would outstretch your arm and clear a shelf by just sort of swiping the contents of it onto the floor. And I, this shelf was like above my bed. So I just, all the miniatures I'd like stuck together and painted, I did the arm swipe on the shelf thing and just, they all just like tumbled down to the back of my bed because I just panicked. I thought, a girl can't see this, you know? So yeah, that was the end of that little trip back into Warhammer. And so I think that was like a proper break then for probably a few years. And my journey back into it actually kind of just came about much as it had started. I kind of just went on the same journey again because I got nostalgic about it all. And I think I had a kind of more regular girlfriend at the time who, you know, you can maybe start opening up your darker secrets to, like the fact that you're interested in goblins and elves. And I kind of started to get wistful and nostalgia about HeroQuest. So this was when eBay was sort of first around, and I decided to go on eBay and rebuy a copy of HeroQuest, which I think I picked up for about 20 quid back then, and it was local to me. So I went and picked it up in person, and then we started playing HeroQuest and playing through all the missions and stuff. And then from there, I was like, oh, do you know what was really good as well? Warhammer Quest. And so then I'm convinced two of my other friends to chip in to buy a copy of HeroQuest, because back then we paid £60 for a complete copy of HeroQuest in really good condition. Now it's worth like an absolute fortune, and we paid £20 each for it. So I'm so happy I did that, because that is one of my all-timer games, is Warhammer Quest. Probably my favorite Games Workshop game. And something I'm hoping to sort of cover in the near future on my channel, actually.
Do you have 10 seconds, literally 10 seconds, to tell me how and where you typically listen to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast? If so, find our micro survey over at bedroombattlefields.com/fast, tick a couple of boxes, and you'll have helped your old pal out here immensely. That's bedroombattlefields.com/fast, F-A-S-T, and now back to the show. Do you play regularly these days?
No, not at all, sadly. I've absolutely ran the well dry in terms of my wife. She refuses to sort of play anything like that with me now. And she was kind of my last hope with that sort of thing, really, because I don't really go to any clubs or anything. And I should get myself more out there. Obviously, I am now. Now that I'm sort of throwing myself back into the hobby. For the longest time, it really has just been me just enjoying painting and collecting and that side of things. But yeah, no, with my wife, we play through all of the Hobbit strategy battle scenarios, and she sort of humoured me throughout that. I think I got her to play one game of Blood Bowl. And then when I was painting my Battle of Five Army stuff, I very distinctly remember her saying to me, she said, just so you know, I'm never going to play this with you. And I sort of at that point, I just got the hint. I was like, I'm going to have to go find some real friends.
So I take it then much of your hobby just now is the painting then?
Yeah, basically it is the painting, collecting and content creation, I suppose. That's partly why I did it. It's partly why I put myself out there, is because I just don't know anyone in real life who's into this stuff. Sadly, like most other people have grown up and I haven't. So I'm sort of hoping to find my group of fellow 40-year-old man children. And it has been good in recent years, like communities like yours and like Josh's have just been like amazing for doing just that. And so last year I popped my head into Boyle, Bring Out Your Lead, and played in Jason's big participation game on the, oh, I can't remember, on the Saturday, I think it was, on possibly the Sunday. I think it was a Sunday maybe. And yeah, that was fantastic. And then from there, I sort of met a few people like Callum and Jason himself, obviously. And I met David, who'd flown over from America. And so it's just been really nice to sort of find people, to sort of know that there are people out there who do enjoy like vintage Games Workshop games, because that is where my sort of passion lies, really, first and foremost. I have had a few sort of failed attempts to try and get into local clubs and things, but it's always just kind of, I wouldn't say ended in disaster, but just hasn't really scratched the itch that I was looking for. I've had a few bad experiences of trying to get into a game and just finding the people who play it aren't in it for the same reasons as me. So early on, I remember when X-Wing came out, you know, the X-Wing miniatures game, it's like pre-painted figures. Yeah. So I was really excited about that because, you know, I was sort of a fan of the original Star Wars trilogy, and me and a friend, I managed to sort of convince a friend to sort of play that. And we were kind of enjoying playing just with the starter set quite a bit, because it's quite a fun game just to play with the starter set. And then we started to build out, you know, just pick up like odd little ships. And we were just, you know, buying stuff that we thought looks cool. So it was just like, oh, I want an A-Wing or whatever. I'm going to get the Millennium Falcon or whatever it might be. You're just adding little kind of odds and sods. Anyway, the place we were buying them from is a local sort of friendly local gaming store type thing. And when we were picking up some bits one day, he said, oh, we're going to be doing a tournament of this soon if you want to come down for that. And we thought, oh, yeah, that sounds like it could be a laugh. So we came down for this tournament with just like whatever bits we had. And my first game, it was like I was playing against someone who had a different rule set, because he'd optimized everything about his kind of list so much that it was just, he was just able to kind of generate resources just at such a greater rate than I do. So it was just basically constantly having rerolls or constantly having just like these extra benefits that I just didn't understand how to get. So it felt like we were playing almost like a different game. Like if we were playing chess, he had double the number of pieces or something. And so it was just a pretty miserable experience, because I was just like, well, I can't even get into this game, because it just feels like I've lost at home. I lost at home by not doing my kind of research on trying to find the best combination of cards and characters and whatever else. And then it kind of culminated. The last game I played was someone who, it was a younger guy, and he was like the worst cheat I've ever seen in my life, where he would, there's like a mechanic in the game where you have these little tokens where you kind of pick your movement in secret. And then it kind of determines which way your ship's going to fly. And it's a really fun mechanic, because you have to kind of guess what your opponent's going to do. If you're like behind him, is he going to turn left? Is he going to turn right? Is he going to, you know, slam on the brakes or whatever? Or you don't know. So it's like, it's a fun game. But you would reveal your kind of like movement token, and he would like, as he's turning it up, he's spinning it round, and he's doing it like really blatantly. But it just like, there was little things like that. He'd be nudging things all the time. He'd be kind of rolling things and then picking up the dice like before you had a chance to even see what he rolled. And it's not like it bothered me, but it's just, it kind of just ruins the game. You just think, well, what's the point of me being here? This isn't like fun. I don't mind losing. I'm not a competitive person at all. It doesn't like bother me losing, but I want it to be like a fun spectacle. So there was that. I tried to get into a game called Warhammer Underworlds, which is, again, it's a really fun game, and I was really enjoying it. When I painted up the first version of that, which was Shadespire, and I painted up the two warbands for that, and I was in St. Albans picking up a paint from the Games Workshop, and again, the guy, the staff member there, he said, oh, well, what, you know, what's this for? And I explained, I said, oh, I'm painting up this Shadespire thing. And he said, oh, well, we're going to be putting on an evening for that. We're going to have like this little tournament thing. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And the same thing happened again, basically, where I turned up and so literally the only other person who turned up was one other person. And it was a younger guy. And so it was just determined. They said, well, no one else has turned up, so you two can just play and just whoever wins kind of wins the tournament, basically. We'll do like best of three. So we sat down to play a game. And the first game, the younger guy, he was like much more experienced. He'd played like a lot of games and he sort of really knew what he's doing. And I said to him, like, oh, you know, all I've done is I've played like a test game against my wife. I haven't really, you know, I sort of know the rules, but I don't really know how to play well or anything. But, you know, I'll give it a go. And the first game, he absolutely trounced me. But in that game, I kind of felt like I learned quite a lot. And so the second round, I actually managed to squeak out a close win. And so it actually came down to the final game. And I sort of, you know, we kind of played out this third game. And, you know, through luck or whatever, I ended up being, you know, fairly comfortably in the lead. And there was an opportunity where, because it's just like a victory point sort of game where you have cards dealt to you, which kind of give you little victory conditions. So it might be hold an objective, or it might be take out, you know, this character or whatever. And one of the cards is kill your enemy's leader. And I spotted an opportunity to do that where his enemy leader was pinned against a wall. And I realized that if I charged my main guy over to him and I rolled perfectly, I just had enough. It was possible for me to kill his leader. And I thought, that's game over at that point. And by sheer luck, I managed to do it. And I thought, I'm miles ahead here on points. I was like a good like six or seven up, but I hadn't bothered to count. But anyway, he just started to just sort of pick up, because the victory points are literally counted in little tokens, like they're actual physical little tokens. It's not something you calculate at the end of the game. He just started to just sort of casually go, oh, and just pick up a couple, as if he'd sort of like forgotten something. You know what I mean? Like you might do if you go, oh, I forgot to move my guy, or I forgot to do my thing. But he would just go, oh,
I forgot to win.
Yes, exactly. He forgot to win. And so by the end of it, and I thought, but I only saw him do like a few. And I thought, well, I'm pretty sure you're like more than that behind. So I thought, that's a bit weird, but I'm not going to call you out on it. Because again, I'm not a combative person and I'm not a competitive person. But anyway, when it came to the end of the game, he'd won by one victory point. And I was just like, it was just another kind of example. I was just like, ah, this is just so not fun. Because it's not like the not winning. It's the fact that the person I'm playing isn't trying to let me have a good time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's a really important part of the hobby for me, is the kind of mutual benefit of it, that we're both trying to like provide each other with fun. And we're trying to like, for me, it's about setting the models down and seeing a spectacle happen. I want something cool to happen, whether or not it happens for my guys or for your guys. I don't really care, as long as something interesting or exciting or spectacular happens. For me, that's what wargaming is supposed to be about.
Yeah, yeah, you both need to be on the same page. And, you know, maybe guys like that, if they find kindred spirits, I don't know, maybe that would be fun for them. I don't know. Like, both cheating against each other. You look around and he's sitting like Smog the Dragon on his pile of victory tokens.
Exactly. Who knows? Who knows? There was a little cool little trophy on offer, so maybe he wouldn't normally be like that. But he
really wanted that trophy.
He really wanted the little glass trophy, which I've seen them pop up on eBay since, and they don't tend to sell. Yeah, it was an interesting experience, but that's sort of been something that I don't know if I've just been unlucky, but just wherever I've tried to sort of get into a game, I've just felt like people didn't find the same joy in it that I do, that they wanted something different out of it. Like, I remember I tried to go to a Warhammer Fantasy Battle Club around the time of 7th edition, and that's when I started collecting my undead stuff for the Call of the Crown. That's sort of, I think, where I started picking up bits. And Yeah, I just remember everyone constantly talking about preparing for a tournament. So they were there playing games that were preparation for a tournament. And I just thought, well, why not just play a game for the sake of playing the game? It's supposed to be fun. To me, that's what the kind of point of it is. Like, I just think being good at Warhammer isn't like an impressive thing. Do you know what I mean? I mean, maybe you know, each to their own. I don't want to like piss on anyone's sort of bonfire, because if that's your thing that you're really into, then that's fair enough. But to me, it's like being really good at playing the spoons or something. You know, it's like no one else is going to be impressed. So I sort of just think you might as well just have fun with it and make it a fun thing, not a competitive thing. But that is just my nature, I suppose. So, you know, like I say, each to their own, really.
What are you working on right now?
I'm working on the video right now, because that is the tricky balance when you're sort of doing content creation stuff, as I'm sure you find, which is that you don't have time to do both at the same time. Often you have to kind of prioritize one and then prioritize the other and prioritize. So it's constant, this constant kind of back and forth between focusing on hobby, and then I focus on making a video about what I've just been doing. And so for the next week, I'm definitely going to be just focusing on trying to get a video out, which is going to cover, the kind of completion of my Call of the Crown stuff. And then after that, I'm not really sure, because I feel bad that I'd abandoned my a couple of projects, but the Battle of Five Armies stuff, because when I came back to YouTube, that is the first stuff I started posting about. And actually, I came back because I felt guilty about having unfulfilled promises on that way back when. So my last video that I made before I came back was an unboxing of the Battle of Five Armies set. And I found that set it's like a dream scenario, really. You know, you kind of, I don't know if you ever get this sort of fantasy where you find like an old hobby shop. And somewhere at the back of the old hobby shop is dusty copies of old games. You know, like maybe they've got like a rack of Warhammer blisters or something. And that actually happened for me. And I found an old copy of Blood Bowl and this Battle of Five Armies box. And I'd made this video about sort of unboxing it. And in the video, I'm saying, oh, yeah, and I'm, you know, stick with me and I'm going to be painting this up and, you know, doing whatever. And it turned out for some reason that video ended up getting like, I can't even know, I think it was like 24,000 views or something, but in my absence. So I'd stopped doing anything on the channel, because I think at that point my daughter had just been born. And so, you know, my priorities were elsewhere. And so I was having a bit of a break from the hobby. And yeah, when I came back to it, I couldn't believe my eyes that like so many people had watched this video. And I've suddenly felt really guilty that I'd sort of told 24,000 people that I was going to be painting up this box set. And so my first video back was basically me saying, yeah, sorry, it's a bit late. It's been like nearly a decade. But if you're still interested, I've started painting up this Battle of Five Armies box. And yeah, so that's going to be like an ongoing project, really, because I've finished painted up the box set, and in fact I think I'm most of the way through a second box set. So I've since picked up a whole nother set off of eBay and mostly painted that up, plus some extra bits. I've got kind of grand ambitions for that project. I'd like to collect and paint all of the extra stuff that was released for it. I haven't explained what this is, have I? But it's basically like a 10mm Warmaster sort of offshoot, but for Middle Earth, that was released by Games Workshop back in 2005, I think. And it was released during a time where I was away from the hobby. So I had no idea it existed. And it was only when I found it in this games shop that I kind of researched it and thought, oh, wow, this sounds like right up my alley. And yeah, it's just been like a bit of a passion project for me of trying to get that done. And I'd really like to have, yeah, huge armies on either side, like big, because the great thing about 10 millimeter scale is that it makes for like a fantastic spectacle with all the miniatures, because you've literally got hundreds and hundreds of individual guys on a table when you play a game. So it makes for a really good looking war game. And yeah, so I want to sort of continue that project, but while the Call of the Crown was on, I've just had to completely shelf it. And I think before that I'd had sort of several things come up that meant I couldn't work on it. So it's been a really long time since I last worked on that. So I feel sort of duty bound to do an update to that soon. So that might be one of the things that's coming in the near future. But I've got lots of like plans for future videos. I really want to cover all of the specialist games. I've clung on to all these sort of old games, and they've just been sat in my cupboard waiting for just some attention, really. So I think I'm going to be doing all sorts of like restoration projects and retrospectives and things like that on some of the stuff I've already got in my collection.
It's been a great chat, Sean. I've really enjoyed hearing about your experiences and putting your content together as well. Where do you want to send the listener so they could check it out for themselves?
Yeah, so the YouTube channel is Timeless Tabletop Gaming. Feel free to head on over there if you're interested in that kind of thing. But I'm also on the Bedroom Battlefields Discord under the same name, and also the Call of the Crowns Discord. So feel free to contact me on there.
Massive thanks to Sean there for a brilliant chat. And I will, of course, have a link to his YouTube channel in the episode show notes. And just before we wrap up, I've got a very small but important favour to ask. I know many of you are listening to this right now while you're painting or driving the car or washing the dishes or walking the dog. And I'd really like to get some hard data on this, on the listening habits of everyone. So I've set up a very quick 2-question micro survey that you can find at bedroombattlefields.com/fast. That's FAST. And it honestly is just a matter of ticking a couple of boxes. It shouldn't take you any longer than 10 seconds. So if you enjoy the podcast each week, this is just a very quick and free way that you could give me a little tip off the hat. So that link again is bedroombattlefields.com/fast, FAST, and I really do appreciate it. All right, thanks as always for listening, and we'll chat again on the next one.